back tomorrow, and you got a day game tomorrow. So we got to put today behind us. That was a long day and a really disappointing day, and we got to flush it and come back tomorrow.
I think the second loss to me was a gut punch.
An
absolute gut punch. You go into the eighth inning, you're up but 5-4 or 6-5, I should say. 6-4, 6-4. 6-5, 6-5. They hit a 3-run home run to make it 8-6.
Cody Clemens.
And you're near Cano. I mean, come on, dude. I've never doubted anyone's focus until that inning hit. He came into the ball game, and it looked as if, what, he had a couple walks, and it was just a bad inning for him. It was just awful. He had a balk involved in that inning as well.
The balk, that got me. I mean, I can forgive a walk. Balks to me are like, really?
Yeah. Castro got the single to left, went to third on a balk. Lewis walked. Then you give up the home run to Clemens. Then strikeout swinging, ground ball to short. His entire presence changed after the home run hit. Okay, so what were you doing before the home run then? What were you focused on? Because it looked like at that point you got pissed off and locked in.
Yeah.
So you came into the game not locked in? Never have I questioned a player's focus this year until right there. Like, to me, that's not – I can understand a player being in his head because he's struggling at the plate. You know, didn't Cedric go like 0 for 30 almost at the plate? Okay, I can understand you being in your head during that time.
Mm-hmm.
But you're coming into a ball game. You're struggling to win games. You have a 1-run lead in the eighth inning. And it takes a 3-run home run for you to finally bear down and give us your best stuff?
That was it. That was one of the sloppiest innings I've seen in a long time. Just like, again, you're not concentrating. That the ball convinced me. Like, what is he doing?
Exactly.
Like, what?
Well, it takes a home run for you to get yourself together.
You didn't see the tweet we got where the guy asked what excuses we got this morning?
No.
So I sent him a message saying the Orioles haven't sent the talking points because like they had a doubleheader yesterday. And it's a very busy day, guys. So we'll probably get them midway through the show, and then we'll give you those excuses, okay?
So now the Twins have run 10 in a row.
I mean, they're a hot team.
They're hot.
This sucks, man. It just sucks. It's like you're watching the game going, okay, when's it going to happen? Whether you have the lead, whatever. That game yesterday, Gunnar hits a home run. You feel so good, and then immediately come out. And it was like for one inning, the wind just started blowing out. I watched the one hit, and I'm going, well, damn, it's still going. You watch Sed go back, you're like, I didn't think he got a hold of it like that.
He almost got that.
Yeah.
Oh, it hit his glove.
It hit his glove.
He hits a 2-out grand slam.
Yeah.
And it's wasted, kind of. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, really?
And it's so weird because it's such a long season. There's really not a day. Like, it's not like you get to the bye week in football. And you're like, hey, guys. It's just getting late early, man. And they're digging a deeper and deeper hole. And it makes... It makes when we get to that trade deadline a lot more interesting, but this isn't fun.
Mm. But 410-583-1057, go ahead.
Kyle Stowers hit 2 bombs yesterday. And then everybody's like, see, I told, like, okay, guys, let it play out. If he ends up being great, so be it. I don't know how people don't understand what was going on here when Stowers was here and Norby was here. Those guys weren't going to play. They just weren't.
This was great about that inning. Yeah, you talk about 2 outs. We get Hanley flat out the left, Holiday single to center. Mountcastle single to center. And then you got the single by Henderson scores a run. O'Hearn ground out. Looks like, you know, 2 outs. The inning's over. Liriano battle back. He finally gets a walk. And then you get the grand slam home run. It was so much going on that inning. And then Kierstad comes in and he hits a back-to-back home run behind him. And you feel good. Like, man, this is the beginning. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Jeremy, correct me if I'm wrong, they played 18 innings yesterday. Orioles only scored in 2 innings.
Yeah.
Out of 18. I'm pretty sure, because they only had 1 inning in the first game where they scored.
6 in the second game, and yeah, all 3 runs were in that. So it's 2 innings of scoring.
2 innings of scoring.
The other thing is, what do you think about Mountcastle in the 2-hole now that you've seen it a couple times? Yesterday, 2-for-4 in the first game, 1-for-5 in the second. Thought it was a big double that kind of set the tone in that inning to get three runs.
It was. I don't know. I think Hod is more trying to shake some things up more so than anything.
Well, he's been hot as of late. Like, if you start looking at Mountcastle's numbers over the past, what is it, week 10 days, he's been hitting the ball better. But maybe you're looking at the other guys going, well, you're not so much.
No, you are. You're right. He's hitting the ball better. But is Mountcastle still a power hitter?
I think so. But Adley's been so bad, you need somebody in that two spot that you trust.
I'm questioning the power of Mountcastle now.
Okay.
He's become a more professional hitter. I will say that. It's funny because I even talked about it. I think it was not yesterday. It may have been the day we rained out. Because we kind of knew we weren't going to play. And so I sat in the locker room and talked to him for a while. And he said something that was very interesting. He said when a team was bad, he'd go up there, grip and rip. And he hit a lot more home runs. Now that the team is good, you become a more responsible hitter.
Well,
I like him to go back to grip and rip.
Did you see the – so there was a post.
He had three hits yesterday and a walk.
Yeah.
Home runs, obviously, but
– there was the post that came out after yesterday's doubleheader. And again, believe what you want on social media. But it had said that the Orioles have seen the least amount of pitches in baseball and that they have – the least amount of walks.
And it's right about the walks. I don't know about the pitches. That's why I made a point yesterday during the game.
They've been ambushed.
We had a hit. I thought the first game they showed an extreme amount of patience. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, Jeremy, they saw nearly 200 pitches in the first game.
Mm-hmm.
The first game by the Twins. They really worked the count and really milked it a lot. But it worked for nothing.
Problem is, there's really no more small victories now. It's like either you're going to win games and put something together, or you're not. There's no more they avoided the sweep. Nope. You're still down another game now.
Kim McCusick joins us at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, Ed Norris, we're giving out shovels.
Yeah. You know what I'm giving? There's something that goes on all too often now that's one of the rudest things that has happened in like recent years, and it's so common. Happened to me yesterday. We're going to talk about it.
And I lost points on this. Shovels up next to the fan. Time to give out shovels, Ed Norris.
Lady with a cell phone yesterday. This is something that's gone on. We've discussed this before several times. I know it pisses Rob off as well. Drives me crazy. I'm sure it drives, I don't know. It's just, maybe you don't care. Decided yesterday. I had a long day yesterday. Spent 2 hours in a wound clinic. You know, things going well, though, but it was just a long afternoon. I was starving. Like, I just said, I'm going to relax. I haven't done this in a while. I'm going to take myself to lunch. So I sit down. Place is empty. Just two people at the bar and myself. And I ordered myself a hanger steak and cocktail. It was very nice. I just said, I'm going to just have a nice, quiet afternoon. Lady to my left starts having a cell phone conversation on speakerphone for like 5 minutes.
Is it FaceTime or phone?
FaceTime.
Or call, I should say.
Yeah. Phone. And it's like, but to me, it doesn't matter because you still hear the other person.
Right. I love the FaceTimes too, though.
Yeah. I'm like, and I'm it's a little kind of thing. Are you that unaware? And it turns out she was very nice once it was done. She was cordial. She was talkative. But I'm like, how could you not understand you're not the only person on earth? And this is disturbing because, ironically, I just left the hospital as a Good Samaritan yesterday, and there's a note in the waiting room says basically about cell phone usage, no phone, you know, no speakerphone calls, no games with sound, no this, no that, for the obvious reasons. It says be courteous to the others in their room.
Like, and it's a shame you have to say that, what you do.
But you do, and they should have. I feel like bartenders should actually be able to say something in bars. Say no, excuse me. We ask you to refrain from that in here while you're here. Please take it outside. Like, have you guys experienced this
all the time?
Yeah,
all the time.
The grocery store. I mean, even people going as far to just like cursing back and forth. And again, like the cursing doesn't bother me. There's kids walking by. F him. F that MF. Like, you're going, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
I don't need to hear your conversation. The same thing for people that come in with the Bluetooth and they're talking loud. Like, I don't care that. Go ahead and talk to the person. What are you talking so effing loud for?
But just shoot a text if you're in with other people around. Like, I don't understand the need for this.
Okay. Jeremy Conn, who gets your shovel?
It's funny. I'm going to give my shovel to me. Because I don't know. Like, yesterday, my wife wanted to go. She was picking up some stuff. We're headed to Ireland in a couple weeks. So she wanted to get like a jacket, some shoes, and different things. So I went to Arundel Mills Mall. Well, while she's shopping in a lot of those stores, especially if it's a woman's store, it doesn't do me any good to sit in Bed Bath & Beyond or what is it, Beauty, Bath & Body Work, whatever the hell they are. All these different shops getting clothes. So I'm sitting out. You'll love this. I didn't even tell you this. I'm sitting out on a bench, and a woman with a police officer, female, with a dog, walks around. The dog starts going nuts near me. And I'm like, the hell's going on? He sits on my feet, and he just starts barking. And I'm like, is this a drug dog? And she's like, no, no. She said, I got to ask you a few questions. This is it's a bomb-sniffing dog named Fido. So Fido was awesome yesterday.
His name was really Fido?
Yeah.
That's a cartoon name for dogs, really.
German Shepherd. Yeah. And we had a long conversation. She's like, did you use any household cleaners? And I'm like, no. She goes, do you have any guns on you? I said, I don't even own a gun. She starts looking at me. She goes, all right, well, do you work with your hands? I said, lady, I'm in radio. I haven't done a hard day of work in years. And she's just like, I don't know then. Maybe, there must be something. I told her, I said, I mowed the lawn the other day. Maybe there's something on my shoes if I spilled something. But apparently the dog smells anything that could be gun-oriented, bomb-oriented, chemicals, and that's what they're going around. I don't know if they're trying to find people that are carrying guns in the mall or what it is, but...
Or bomb.
Yeah, but I talked to her for like 20 minutes. My wife's inside looking at me. She's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. So, I thought I was going to get arrested.
You probably should have. I'm giving my shovel to us. And I don't mean the people in this room only. I mean all of us. So yesterday I went after the game, went to grab some dinner. Didn't feel like cooking. I was lazy. So the schedule release came out. And all of a sudden the Ravens topic came up. I said, yeah, you guys heard how encouraging Lamar Jackson was to his teammate Ronnie Stanley. Some guy sitting to my left said, I'd be surprised if Lamar Jackson can spell encouragement.
Nice.
I said, okay. All right. And then before I could respond to that, he says, I'm surprised that guy hadn't broken his knee or something. He has his knee blown out. I said, why is that? All the running that he does and running around. I said, he's a runner, though. So that's he's one hit away from having a career-ending injury.
So is like everybody else.
I said, like every other quarterback. I said, in fact, the quarterback that can't protect himself is probably more vulnerable than Lamar. So he goes on and on about all the reasons that he does not like Lamar. And he said, Josh Allen won the MVP. I said, Lamar Jackson won two. I said, you like Josh Allen? I said, yeah, I like Josh. He's a good quarterback. I said, he runs.
And he takes more hits than Lamar.
And he said, well, Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl. I said, it's funny. You started this conversation off by questioning Lamar's intellect. Am I right? He said, yeah, I don't think he's very smart. I said, Joe Flacco once stood at the line of scrimmage while Troy Polamalu was standing there, staring announcing to the world, I'm coming to you. And he couldn't get out of the play.
Yeah.
You ever see that with Lamar? I can't even watch this team now. I'm like, okay.
You know what that is. Right. You know what that is.
Well, time out. Let's back up a second. I thought about this because, number one, I respected him much more when he says, I don't like him because he's black. Well, I don't like him because he doesn't look like me. I respected him. Like, we had the man years ago. Yes. Couldn't watch the Terps.
Yes.
Because there was nobody on the floor that looked like him.
Dan in the river.
And everybody got upset with him. I thought, dang, yep. Everybody got upset with him. I thought, you know what I like about Dan? He said it. Now I know where I stand with Dan. But I thought about something. Let's be honest with ourselves. Everybody that's listening right now, how many of you liked Lamar Jackson before he played just because he looked like you? You know?
Yeah.
You become who you despise. When I sat there looking at this guy, I'm like, you know, I don't want to become what I despise the most. I don't. And admit, there's many people who like him because he looked like just like this guy don't like him because he doesn't look like him. Many of us started liking him. I'll admit to it.
Yeah.
I will. I'll put my hand up. Mm-hmm. I said, man, this guy could be my son. There was some identification there.
Yeah.
How many of you white dudes like Christian McCaffrey because he's a good white running back? That's why I said a shovel is to us, because the difference is, the guy that I talked to yesterday is too dumb to mask it. He's too stupid to mask it.
How about the lady that called in and said, why don't you do something with his hair? He looks like Frederick Douglass. Okay.
But the rest of us, we mask it and we wrap it up in other things to try to make it sound good, when the fact of the matter is we do the same thing. This dude yesterday is just too stupid to mask it. He actually thought what he was saying made sense in his head. It made sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because in his mind, black quarterbacks are dumb. Because growing up, he's older than me. So I'm sure, and back when Doug Williams, before Doug Williams, all the black quarterbacks couldn't make it in the NFL because they were perceived to be stupid.
Yes.
That's why they couldn't make it.
Yeah,
so this guy's older than me, so he comes from that generation.
Mm-hmm.
So in his mind, that's all right. But we do it. We all do it.
That dude's racist, man.
He is.
Everybody does it.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with like looking at a guy that you like. Again, I played basketball my whole life. I was a minority there. My favorite player of all time is Charles Barkley. You want to know my other favorite players? Luka, Dirk, Steve Nash, Pete Maravich, yeah. Larry Bird. I mean, they're not the only ones that I love, but there's a reason why you look at those guys and you almost, I don't want to say you're trying to be like them or yeah. like, hey, this guy did it, so I want to emulate him and just be exactly like him. I get that. But when you start going, that guy can't quarterback, he's stupid. Why is he stupid? Because he's black? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, that's what
I'm
saying.
But everybody does this. I shouldn't say everybody, just about everybody does this.
I don't call somebody stupid.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm talking about... my son was a sprinter.
Yeah.
So one day, and this was, I'm saying it because I said it on the air before, it was Mike Preston, because me and Mike are pretty close. We talk a lot. And I said, you got to watch this, because the only kid he couldn't beat was the kid who was the running back.
Maryland and Jets.
Ty Johnson.
Ty Johnson.
Yeah. Ty Johnson was, he was very good. He's very fast. And so I show Mike some of the videos of him racing, and he goes, you said he ran track. I thought he was a distance runner.
I go, no.
We laughed about it because that's the assumption people make.
To your point, today, nowadays, my favorite quarterback, Lamar Jackson.
Pat Mahomes.
The kid from Washington.
Do you like?
Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, dude, I wanted the kids from Carolina to get another chance.
At one point in the league, the top five quarterbacks, according to efficiency, were all black. At one point in this league, was it 2 years ago? Josh Allen had a great year last year.
No, it was the year that Deshaun Watson, that year.
Okay.
It was the Deshaun Watson.
So it was a couple years ago.
Yeah, it was.
Well, a few years ago.
Yeah. Kim McCusick joins us at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, despite the ninth hardest schedule in the league, do you see the Ravens team reaching at least 10 wins? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I want to go on record to say I had to give Jeremy a hug during the commercial break. He may be one of the angriest people that I've
That's not that true.
I know.
I was just talking about Stephen A. or Screaming A. Smith and Mad Dog, and I think they're both idiots. I was saying to you guys, like, it's like who can get louder than the other one? And I've never seen two people on an opposite side of the argument where both of them are wrong. Who are you talking? You talking about the Brewers? The Brewers? What voice is that? What are you, three?
That's Mad Dog's voice. The Brewers.
The Brewers?
The Ravens have the ninth hardest schedule in the NFL. Jeremy, can they squeak 10 wins or more out of that?
Oh, absolutely. Look, this is... Any way you slice it, if you look at the AFC, you're going to sit here and list a handful of teams that you think are good to great, right?
All right?
I mean, you start with the top three, the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Bills, and then you start looking elsewhere. Are the Broncos going to be for real? Are the Chargers going to be for real?
Right.
Is anybody else taking a step forward? You asked about Miami.
Right.
Can Cincinnati just play offense the whole season? You know, like there's a lot of things that you look at, and I'm not trying to eliminate or leave anybody out like Houston or any of the AFC South, but we really don't care about them. They're not going to do anything. At least not in the next few years. So the point is that that's the cream of the crop. The question is, how do you do against those other two teams? And you're going to have tiebreakers going into the postseason to decide where you play. And the two top teams you play, right, are both on the road. The Chiefs and the Bills, if I'm correct.
Setting the number at 9.5, Ed, for wins. You over or under?
Over. Over. I mean, this is a tough schedule. This is a really good football team. And I think they're going to have another 12-win season, 11. It'll be 11-6, 12-5, whatever it's going to be. But I think they're going to have a good season. This is one of those things I hate. You know, when people look, it's not fair. Look at all these good teams they're playing. There's a reason they play all these good teams.
That's
how you're seeded. That's how it works.
It's how it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
All right, Joe, 9.5 is my number for Ravens wins. Jeremy's over, Ed's over. Are you over or under?
I will go over, but maybe only like 11.
Okay. All right.
Here, I'll get you their win total for this season.
Let's go to Eli Parkville. What's up, Eli?
Good morning, fellas. I tell Steelers fans every year, y'all got to see us. Point blank, period. I'm not scared.
Eli, 9.5, over or under?
I'm not as scared.
Over.
Over, all right.
I think 13.
Yeah, you want to know the Vegas line?
What's the Vegas line?
It's 11.5, but it's even money, which means like it's probably more likely to go. Well, they're not going to put it at 11. They want the half, so there's a win or a loss. But yeah, 11.5. So like again, they're telling you they believe this is a double-digit win team.
Before Eli hangs up, Jeremy, how many teams are set at double-digit wins by Vegas? Does it have that over there?
All right, so we have Ravens, Bills, and Chiefs. By the way, the Ravens win total, like it's projected at 11.6. The win total for the Bills is 11.4. You guys got to understand, like the averages. Right. But the Bills is 12.5. What do we say? Chiefs were 10.5.
Uh-huh.
Broncos, 9.5.
Only three teams double digits?
In the AFC. I'd have to check the NFC.
Okay, but
have
the Chiefs at? So Eli?
10.5.
Three teams in the AFC are set at double digit wins. Are the Ravens better than the Bills or the Chiefs, in your opinion?
Yeah.
All right.
Sure, yes.
I'm writing it down. We're going to talk to you later.
And by the way, I'm on an article written by Cynthia Freeland, so I don't know where she got her odds from, so it could be all over the place. Like, you might go to FanDuel today and go, hold on, he said it was 11.5, and there it's 10.5. I don't know. But, like, again, this is where it was.
Well, Rob Long said 9.5. Let's go to Sean in Baltimore. What's up, Sean?
What's up, fellas? Morning. Hey, man, look, 9.5, come on, man. That's assault to Lamar, man. He get five of them or six by himself. Come on, man. Don't do my man like that, man. We going over. And I actually like our schedule this year.
I like it because it's competitive. It's a banger. I mean, it's like you can't get bored.
Out of the gate.
Yeah.
Just that, Rob. You know, in the beginning of football, you don't really get them. But now we got some competitors. You know, the Ravens like to play to the competition. We got it early. Let's go.
Hey, if you're the Browns, and we don't know who's going to win the competition yet, but you're looking to start. I mean, are you starting Flacco, or are you looking to start one of the young guys, either Gabriel or Sanders, who you drafted? Let's not forget.
I'm looking to win.
Kenny Pickett's there, too, so he's the favorite to start.
I'm looking to win. Whoever I think gives me my best opportunity to win, honestly. I ain't discriminating.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm not discriminating. I'm going into this on – I don't know which one of you guys is going to be starting for me. I'm walking in the room with that. I don't know. Win me. Convince me. Take the job because it belongs to no one right now. I got a quarterback that I drafted in the third round, quarterback that I drafted in the fifth round. Both of those were accomplished college quarterbacks. I got a guy who won the Super Bowl before, and I have Pickett.
Only reason I ask, and I wonder if this is part of the reasons why they did it, but like you get the Browns early. So if it is Flacco, you got Flacco coming back to Baltimore, which is a great storyline. But I think when you see the Browns this year, each game's going to be looking totally different because I think the quarterback that's starting in week 2 won't be starting that next game.
I want to hear from you. 410-583-1057 is the number. Talk to me and Jeremy and Ed. Do you see the Ravens winning 10 games this upcoming season or more? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 7:47 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ravens wins. You see them squeaking out at least 10 wins in the 2025 season. 410-583-1057. Go to Middletown, get Jonathan. What's up, Jonathan?
What's going on, guys?
Not much, man. How are you?
Good. I think we're definitely going over that 9.5. My biggest takeaway from the schedule, though, is I want a playoff spot wrapped up in week 17 because I don't like the idea of having a competitive Ravens-Steelers game going into the playoffs. You know, I want us to have full health.
Can I ask you a question, Jonathan?
Get them real late.
I mean, they had them in the playoffs last year. Why are we afraid of a competitive Ravens-Steelers game? I don't get that. I want competitive.
It's not, for sure, it's not that I'm scared of us losing or anything like that. A loss is a loss, but I you know, it's just the fact they always play those, you know, hard nose in the trenches games that, you know, you never know what if it can result in an injury or just you know, coming out the next week and not being at 100%. I want to be 100%.
I'm more scared of the Bengals playoff now because they score so many points.
It goes back to that what I was saying earlier. It's like we come up with these scenarios of the worst possible scenario. You know, you go into the game, the last game of the season with the Steelers. You know, they play grinded out football. Somebody can get hurt. Or you take the week off and your team goes in the playoff. What if you win it, you get a bye, and you took the week off. Now these guys are off for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm not looking at it that way. I'm not worried about that. Well, your mic's not working.
So it's a good day for you guys.
Go over there with Joe.
You want to share this one?
Come on over here so we can look like Hall & Oates. This is great radio.
This is fantastic.
This is great.
Wait, then why don't you guys talk?
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. And what is the, give me a game that, just like the last caller said, a game he's not looking forward to. What is a game that, that concerns you? I'm not talking about injuries and things like that. Just in general, game, you're going into it, I'm concerned about this game.
Well, the obvious one that I'd be concerned about is the Chiefs, because no matter how much we outplay them, we can't seem to beat them. We always come up a little short against the Chiefs, even if you shut them out in the second half of a game, whatever it may be. But the game that, the games that really concern me, I think, are the Bengals games. You get them, you have Bengals, Steelers, Bengals. And, you know, the Ravens barely beat the Bengals last year. They beat them, but they were incredibly high-scoring games. I'm just hoping that the defense is so much is better this year than it was last year, because Joe Burrow has amazing games against them.
He does.
And he has for years. It wasn't just last season. And what was that combined total? He had like a couple of years, like 500-something yards against them in the air.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I wish Jeremy's mic was working right now so we can.
Hello.
There we go. Jeremy.
Yes.
Your boy just said Joe Burrow.
Burrow? Who's that? Who's he play for? Is this a new guy?
Joe Burrow.
Is that Yogi's grandson? No, two things I was going to say. So we had the...
Oh, we passed that now.
No, going back to the Steelers at the end of the year. Remember, they had the one where it's like, hey, they've got things wrapped up. Do you play your starters against the Steelers? Where fans are like, oh, you got to. You got to try to keep them out. And it's like, no, you don't. Let them do whatever the hell they want. Like, go in healthy. Don't go through that game. So seeing them week 17 doesn't bother me. The things that catch me... The three straight road games, including the first one at Miami Dolphins after playing the Bears 4 days later, going to Miami at the end of October. And then you get at Minnesota and then at Cleveland. Like, again, it's the Browns, but some of these games with the Browns have been really close. You've been upset there a few times. They still consider it a rivalry. So I can't overlook it. That's three straight road games, and you have three straight home games. That's what I don't like about the schedule.
The Lions... It's the game that jumps off the page for me. That concerns me a little bit. Let's go to Mike in Baltimore. What's up, Mike?
Morning, fellas. I just wanted to touch base on that last caller. I think what he's trying to say is that he's not necessarily worried about a specific team, but to his point, I think we easily handle the Bills in the playoffs if we have a healthy Zay Flowers. So if we can wrap things up early on and be able to work our guys out without getting hurt during a game, I think we can make a deep push in the playoffs.
Well, I think they manhandle the Bills as long as they don't do the stupid things that happen in the game. Fumbling in the middle of the field, drop passes that were just wide. Like, whether you want to talk about the one to Derrick Henry down the sideline, or you want to talk about the one in the end zone for the two-point conversion, what was that? The goofy fourth down calls that maybe you liked it, maybe you didn't. Maybe you just didn't like it because they didn't work out. You never punted in a playoff game and lost. You know how ridiculous that is?
Andrew had a big, the biggest drop, I think, was the one midfield.
Yeah.
The two-point conversion was terrible, obviously. But he had another one that killed the drive.
There were a couple plays there, and it's just weird in the playoffs. Why these goofy things keep happening? And sometimes you make those things happen.
Yeah.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. It's to me, this schedule is perfect for a team that's contending for a Super Bowl. Because they're not any really letdowns. Chicago Bears, by record, aren't very good, but they're supposed to be a lot better this year. So that's not a you can't sleep on them. The Miami Dolphins, a talented team, especially on offense, even though they had one of the top defenses last year as well. Cleveland Browns are the Cleveland Browns. That's a divisional game. You can never fall asleep on them. It's a great schedule because there are no huge – the worst team on their schedule based on last year are who? The New England Patriots?
It's record-wise,
Yeah. That's the worst team.
Yeah.
410-583-1057, Perry Hall. Steve, what's up, Steve?
Hey guys, good morning.
Good morning.
I agree with Jeremy. I mean, we get the three home games in 4 weeks, but we get the bye in week 7, so we're home and not traveling. you know, you get to three road games and then you end the year 3 of 4 on the road. So yeah, a tough schedule, but I think over recently in the last few years, I think we've had favorable schedules. So this one might not have come out exactly how we wanted it, but you know, you go out, you win the games, and you get to 12 or 13 wins, you win the division, you go to the playoffs. I mean,
I don't like the bye in week 7. I don't like the bye. That's my least favorite thing on the schedule, a week 7 bye.
Yeah. Well, they had a real late one last year.
Yeah, that's my least favorite thing that I have is a week 7 bye. I would love to have it week 10 to week 12, somewhere around there. That's a long stretch of 11 games. You better get a bye. If you don't get a bye, then you're talking about 12 or 13 straight games. It's a long stretch, man.
Yeah. And again, like the fact that you get to see the two teams that you're primarily going to be competing with to get that bye, you get both of them on the road.
Yeah.
Like you cannot go 0-2 in those games. So and I know they're road games, but you got to have some sort of tiebreaker at the end to help you out. And because then if not, you're playing for an extra win. You got it. Yeah, I mean, your record has to be better. You're going on the
road.
But
even last year, they had a tough schedule last year.
Yeah, said the schedule's been favorable. I thought the schedule's been tough.
Tough last year because you know the divisional games. But last year they had the Chiefs as a non-divisional game. Yeah. They had the whole division, right? I mean, the Broncos were a playoff.
They had the Eagles.
They had the Eagles, the Broncos, the
Weren't
Chiefs.
They in the top five? The tough schedules.
I thought it was.
That's why I didn't know in the league.
I don't know what he meant by favorable schedule.
Yeah, I don't either.
It became easier down the stretch because the teams didn't do well. But going into this, like this schedule could change. But they had a very tough schedule.
Well, I think in the beginning of the year, you looked at the Broncos, you know preseason. Well, they were a playoff team.
Yeah.
I mean, so no.
Let's go to Steve in Baltimore. Last one. What's up, Steve?
Hey, we're going, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing well. How are you?
All right. For me, the schedule is good. I'm not worried about that. Only thing I'm really worried about is the kicker. He hasn't proven himself yet, so we got to figure out if he's good, he's not good, is he going to, you know, under pressure, win factor, all that good stuff. How y'all thought, I think.
Well, I mean, look, yeah, you're never going to know, but if you looked at when Cincinnati got Evan McPherson, he came in his rookie year, they were comparing him to Tucker, right? They were saying, oh, this guy's just like him. You're going to find some guys. You got rookie kickers, whether or not they can kick in that moment. Rob, you've talked about it. Some of these guys have kicked in front of bigger crowds than they're going to kick in front of in the NFL.
He's a kicker. He's a kicker.
Fruit Loop.
Dude, he's a kicker.
Hmm?
They kick. Well, snap, the hold, and the kick.
Doesn't matter as much as you're going for it on fourth down anyways, does it? I'm kidding.
Ravens Senior Vice President of Communication Chad Steele joins us at 9 o'clock. But on the other side, we're going to break down the schedule with our film study expert, Ken McCusick, up next on The Fan.